Hello, my friends, and welcome to the final episode of Season 1 of The Art of Letting Go. This one we are calling Looks Like We Made It. And yes, Barry Manilow inspires it, as well he should. I'll explain that coming up. But I also want to celebrate the fact that we have gotten not only to this point together, but through so many moments in our lives over the last 12 months. So let's do that together right now on The Art of Letting Go. I'll tell you what I've missed the most over the last year, approximately. It's live music. It's concerts. I am a nut for concerts. Been over 100 shows that I've gone to in all of my years. And rarely do I ever go to one where I don't leave thinking, wow, that's one of the best shows I've ever seen. However, there is one artist. Now, I believe you know I have a real love for Billy Joel, groups like Need to Breathe and so on. But there's one artist who every time I have seen him absolutely blows me away. His ability to perform, to show an audience a good time and give them every single dollar's worth. And that artist is Barry Manilow. I've seen him 4 times, including out in Vegas. Boy, doesn't that seem appropriate. I love this guy. We all know at least one Barry Manilow song. If you know all of his greatest hits, you are probably a fanilow, F-A-N-I-L-O-W. That's pretty cool. That's cute. But I do. I know tons of his songs. More importantly, though, when you get the chance, if we get the chance, when live music returns, do yourself a favor and go see Barry Manilow. I kid you not. It is the most inspiring 2.5 hours of music you're ever going to hear. Absolutely incredible. How does that fit into today? Well, Looks Like We Made It is a great way to cap not only the first 15 episodes and the first season of The Art of Letting Go, but I cannot think of another time in my life, outside of perhaps the months following 9/11, where those words are not more appropriate. We know many, many people who have been affected by coronavirus, who have lost their jobs, who have seen businesses destroyed in rioting. We have seen so many people affected from all walks of life, all sides of the political spectrum, all sides of the ideology and religiosity that's out there. But we did it. We've gotten this far together. I just want to take a few moments and reflect on those moments in our lives that may have changed us forever. But at the very least, I hope it's changed us for the better. Sticking with the idea of song and music for a moment, maybe you're like me, and certain songs, when I hear them, I can be snapped back into the moment I either first heard them, or that song might bring up a memory for me. Certainly there are songs from the 80s when I hear them or deliberately play them, that's certainly the case. Pretty much anything by Journey. There was a one-hit wonder in 1989, and every time I hear it, I think of my senior year in high school in vivid detail. Waiting for a Star to Fall by Boy Meets Girl, I believe. Great song, by the way. Still holds up. Doesn't sound like an 80s song at all. And there are songs like that for you. My wife and I are. Our song is Don't Know Much by Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville. And I always smile when I hear it because it makes me remember how lucky I am. Sometimes songs have the opposite effect, where it helps us maybe get some emotion out of the way. Maybe it helps us to cope. Maybe it reminds us of a very bad experience and we quickly change the channel or whatever the case may be. Certainly I have songs that make me do that. I have songs that make me remember smells from moments growing up in a neighborhood in Fort Wayne, or make me remember the weather or a sickness. I can remember having the chicken pox in fifth grade, and I called the local radio station and asked them if they would play Black Dog by Led Zeppelin, and they did. And I tell you, I felt like a rock star that day. I felt like I was controlling the airwaves. It was really cool. Music has that way of helping us connect to the world around us. And it certainly helped to drive the decision to name episodes of this first season after songs. Not particularly because they have any special meaning, but because they may very well help me remember what is being spoken about in each of these episodes. Well, I'm grateful to you, my friends. I know there's family that listens, but I'm grateful that you have allowed me to be, if you will, captain of your airwaves for 30 minutes each of the past 15 episodes or so. And because I'm really terrible at math, I know that almost every episode has gone well over 30 minutes, but thankfully you're forgiving. I'm grateful that you have allowed me to tell my story and allowed me to share the things that broke me, the things that have helped me heal, perhaps the things I'm still dealing with. What a wonderful platform to be able to do that. And in the second season of The Art of Letting Go, I will open that up and allow others to share how they have learned to let it go or how they are coping with challenging times in their own lives, and how it is that we, even in our ability to just listen, are really doing God's work by paying attention to the world around us, paying attention to perhaps situations that we don't realize are happening around us. Because when we see each other in public, more so than online, or quite honestly, perhaps more online, we have a tendency to put on those beautifully rose-colored glasses and express everything that's good in our world. And on the flip side, when people, it seems, only want to share what's going on bad in their world, or they seem to be holding on to something they cannot let go of, we have a tendency to keep scrolling by or avoiding them in public because, God forbid, you ask the question, how's it going? Because you really don't want to know. You don't ask that question because you want a truthful response. We've been tuned to the idea that that's what we're supposed to ask. It's better to just say hi and good to see you. Because if you really want to know how's it going, you better lock in and prepare yourself because somebody's bound to tell you. So let me ask, how's it going? How have you been over the last year? It was around this time, today, I actually don't know what the date is, but the release date is going to be February 5th. So I know that we're sitting right near the anniversary of when people here in America started to really concern themselves with how the COVID virus was spreading. And it's weird to say it was a year ago because we say, wow, that really went fast. Unless you're in it. If you're in the coronavirus, if you are around it, if you work in the medical industry, and you see how it ravages people every day, you probably thought that was the longest year of your life. For most of us, who have not experienced it, this past year went really fast. But what were the lessons we learned? How are you? What affected you the most? The fact that we can answer those questions is truly a gift. It means that we made it this far. We have never been to this moment before. I know that seems obvious, but I think we sometimes forget it because we get so lost in the small details of life that we fail to see the big picture. I've always been a big picture guy, and my wife can tell you I get absolutely frustrated, if not straight out pissed, when I am forced to look at the small picture. When I am forced to look at the minute details. I'm horrible at following instructions on an instruction sheet that comes packed in whatever it is that I'm needing to build or hang or whatever the case is. Horrible. I'm a big picture guy. You would think I like IKEA furniture. They don't give you any instructions. In a way, I've always somewhat lived my life that way. Now, I will say maybe in the last 5 years or so, I've opened myself up to the idea that living footloose and fancy free, or, you know, whatever the best analogy is there, I've certainly slowed it down a bit. A little foot loosier, maybe, but not fancy free. I mean, I ain't a millionaire, so I can't just free every fancy I want. But I have a tendency to say no to the little things, and I have a tendency to say yes to the bigger things. Yes, let's go away for a weekend, I'll say to my friends. And then I'll try to take on the idea of doing the minute details of booking the event, or let's look around and see what is around us to eat, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm horrible at that. I'm just horrible at it. So I'll try to stay big picture here. Whether we've struggled with the coronavirus in 2020 or not is almost less important than the fact that people we know have. We all know somebody. We all know somebody whose lives have been altered as a result. Maybe it's a local business. Maybe it's somebody in the healthcare field. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's your children. Maybe jobs were lost because there are less people needing something from that industry. I think had I had the foresight or the ability to see the future, I'd have probably gone back and bought stock in hot tubs or RVs or bicycles, board games, if there is stock in board games. I don't know, Milton Bradley, maybe. Because we reconnected on a much larger scale, even though we were forced not to spend time together, in the presence of. Instead, even though it was a learning curve, we figured out how to Zoom, how to meet in Google, how to FaceTime, how to still laugh, how to have a conversation, how to play board games instead of video games. Or if you're playing a video game, how to be able to connect with friends and family who might be in other cities, other states. How grateful we should be. How awesome that there's still music. And how awesomer. I love it when I throw people off with made up words. That the music isn't sad. That even the blues music and the folk music that we are hearing right now, there's a tinge of hope to it. There's a lightness to it. The pop music that I have a tendency not to listen to as much anymore. It's lighter. It talks about relationships and good times, having fun. There's no reason for any of that music to still be that way. Most of the times, I mean, as we were coming out of the 80s, a time that was rather light, but then we entered a time of war and the music reflected it. We had grunge out of Seattle, and that came out as a true reflection of the fact that not everybody was happy-go-lucky. Some people had a lot of frustration. I don't hear that music right now. Do you? I mean, if you want to hear that music, you quite literally have to type in those bands from the past. That's interesting to me. Does that mean that we are bucking what's being fed to us? That we should live in fear? Healthy fear is fine. Healthy fear is fine. As is healthy skepticism. But I'm not sure that we can say we've made it if we're holding on to too much skepticism. If we believe truly that everybody is out to get us, including the government. It's too much fear if we're afraid to see our families. Not because, you know, of a healthy fear, again, that you may be compromised, but because, again, somebody has told you you shouldn't. And that's why we all have varying opinions about the extent to which we're approaching the coronavirus. Totally get it, right? So how are you? Where do you fall in all of this? Did you have the coronavirus, and did it change your perspective on coronavirus? Because ding, ding, me too. And I already thought I was well on my way to appreciating the coronavirus for what it was worth. I'm not sure you actually can until you have it. And for some people, again, light symptoms versus severe symptoms. I've read the gamut, and I believe every single one of them. I am just surprised when I still hear people who don't believe this is real. That's surprising. Again, big picture, we know it does. But we want to get bogged down in the small details about how we may or may not be manipulating, that we kind of forget to celebrate our togetherness, to celebrate big moments. Actually, sometimes we do forget to celebrate the small ones. I'll share some of my victories, if you will, from 2020 here on the other side of this break. This is The Art of Letting Go. I'll be right back. So let's run this clock backward a little bit and talk about the latest thing I've overcome, which is the coronavirus. And as I shared in the previous episode, there were certainly moments throughout the ordeal that I felt, and I believe my wife also felt, We may not make it. We made that deliberate decision not to go to the ER the third time because we didn't want for them to put me on a respirator. We both felt as though doing so probably meant I wasn't going to come off. And you know, maybe you're like me, but I want to go out on my terms, not on somebody else's. So when that day comes, if I get that option, of course they do say, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him what your plans are. My hope is, though, that the coronavirus wouldn't have been my last moments. And I overcame. And it does change perspective. I know the things that I want and need to achieve in 2021. But had I not had coronavirus, I'm not sure that I would have desperately wanted to fulfill those. But at the beginning of 2020, I was invited to attend and participate in the South by Southwest Education Conference in Texas. And as many events were, it eventually was canceled. However, I was literally hours from Texas, just from a driving perspective, about 4 or 5 hours from Texas, before they canceled it. However, I didn't officially know all of my events were canceled until I had rolled into Austin. And how sad it was for me. So I found a lot of ways to be able to fill my time. And it was ultimately a very fulfilling week, but not fulfilling in the way that I originally planned. I had intended to network, had some, we'll just say other educational opportunities that I was looking forward to pursuing, at least through conversation. But those did not happen as a result of the conference being canceled. And that's okay. And so I felt like that was a setback, but like most setbacks, we needed to find a way around it. And one of the ways we did was to be able to actually do a remote lesson from Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas, back to high school students in Huntington, Indiana. And a friend of mine, my former co-teacher, happened to be teaching about JFK at the time. So, you know, we made hay. We made lemonade. And it was awesome. I could have gotten bogged down with the disappointment of an opportunity wasted. But instead, we found new opportunities and ways to share. That was fantastic. One of the things that I had really wanted to do was to find a way to start getting back to songwriting and prepare perhaps a second album release for 2020. I had started a conversation in 2019 to do that with a couple of buddies of mine. And again, because of the coronavirus, that really didn't work out the way that it was intended. Again, understood. So how do we make lemonade out of that? Well, one of the other things that I had been talking about for some time, for several years, was starting a podcast particularly about music and about history and how those seem to cross and intersect all throughout, especially the last 70 to 80 years, perhaps longer. So I started to prepare for a podcast based on that. And I had several episodes already sketched out, some fully written. And then some things happened, particularly to students and families that I knew and knew well. There was death. There were setbacks. And in my own world, I thought, I'm sitting on a story that might help other people. At the very least, perhaps my story could start a conversation with exactly the people whose stories of defeat, stories of either being oppressed through illness or through whatever social disease there was. And so I stopped writing the other podcast. And it was a conscious decision to tell my story then, and the full story. And that's how this podcast was created. And every moment since has been an utter blessing. The feedback that you have given me, the concepts and ideas, the ability to have a platform where we each can tell our story in a dynamic way, where we can be free to unloose the baggage that holds us down, to bring hope where there's sometimes hopeless situations. I love that idea. And I was nervous, of course, grateful, absolutely, to share my story with you. Because we all live under a facade. I'm somebody who appreciates others appreciating me. I like to be liked. I don't look for external rewards, but I do look for approval. That's part of that emotional addiction and emotional relationships that I've often sought, but most especially in the last decade or so. And this podcast has allowed me to not only share with you my story, but to, in return, so many of you sharing your own struggles with me. I hope you continue to do so. Let's find light where it's sometimes hard to find light. Let's find solutions. Let's live in the moment. Sha-la-la-la, live for today. So I was happy for that success. This coronavirus has done a number on families. Certainly, our family and the extended family, we all come to this past year and our takeaways from it from different perspectives, from different needs, in hopes for different resolutions. But what's not different is, at the end of the day, our ability to love one another. We may not agree. We typically don't. But we love. The greatest of these is, you know it. I'm grateful, ever so grateful, for a job that allows me to be real, not only with my students, but with the staff. We run an amazing network in our school that works with at-risk students and to know that when they leave my classroom, when they leave our school, maybe they're less at risk than how they walked in. That the idea of being a difference maker really took hold, that each of them will do better and be better. Man, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for opportunities to share the message of doing better and being better, whether it's online, whether it's with an individual, whether it's in a big picture situation like social media. And boy, right now we're all having our own worries and wonders about social media, but could you imagine how we would function in this past year without it? I'm not talking politically. I'm talking one-on-one, friendships, family. For most of us, this is the first time that we have lived through a pandemic. So the idea of not being able to just get in the car and go over and see family was foreign to us. We had to rely on social media. So almost with an asterisk out to the side, I'm grateful for social media. How about you? When we look around us each day, there's always one thing, something worth being grateful about. Always. Sometimes we just need to look a little harder. But we made it. We have made it. We have made it to now. This moment of nowness that we are sitting in has never been here before. And now it's gone and a new moment comes. It's trippy, man. But it's also beautiful. I am so grateful that you have taken the time to listen, not only today, but for 15 todays. And I really cannot wait to spend time with you again. But as with all things, it's time to reload, to breathe, to celebrate the nowness. And I hope you do. Because I am. You are an amazing audience. More than that, you are amazing people. And I'm blessed that you're now part of my inner circle. And that you've taken the time to share with me. And be with me here on The Art of Letting Go. So for now, I will let you go. Take that lightness out into the world. Let go of the things that are holding you back, holding you down, holding you from being the person that you rightfully deserve to be. And I'll keep doing the same. So until we get a chance to share together and talk together, thank you. I'm James Steensma, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Hey friends, it's James, and again, I want to thank you so much for spending time with me here on The Art of Letting Go. We will be back for a second season of The Art of Letting Go, but until then, let me continue to encourage you to be the amazing person you were born to be the amazing person that you've shown me to be. Keep doing better and being better. Keep being difference makers. Lend a hand whenever you can. Be a little kinder than we normally would think we need to. Be a little braver. But no matter what, keep working to let go of the things that have held you down in the past. And maybe it's friends like those at the crisis text line, 741-741, who can help you do that. Type the word home and send it to 741-741, the crisis text line. And those folks already know ways to help you overcome. But you are overcoming by taking the time to not only listen, but to spread the word of the art of letting go. And I appreciate you. Until that second season, I wish you well. Take good care. I'm James Teensma for The Art of Letting Go.